You're listening to Across the Border. That's the name of this program. We're continuing our study here and in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah got a commission from the king, 20th year of the King Artaxerxes, and get the materials and go up to Jerusalem and build the wall and the gates. And they've started the work, and we're going through chapter 3 and talking about who worked on the gate and which men. And although we don't know any of these people, because this happened a long time ago, and but they all got their names here in Nehemiah's chronicle. The next, and we're here, chapter 3, verse 11, Malchijah, the son of Harim, and Hashub, the son of Pahath Moab, repaired the other piece and the tower of the furnaces. Now, I guess I already read that, but we'll keep reading from that point. That next to him repaired Shalom, the son of Halohesh, the ruler of half part of Jerusalem, he and his daughters, and the valley gate repaired Hanun, the inhabitants of Zanoah, and they built it and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof, and 1,000 cubits on the wall unto the dung gate. But the dung gate repaired Malchiah, the son of Rechab, the ruler of part of Beth Hasarem. He built it and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. But the gate of the fountain repaired Shalun, the son of Kol-Hose, the ruler of part of Mizpah. He built it and covered it and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof, and the wall of the pool of Siloah by the king's garden, and unto the stairs that go down from the city of David. After him repaired Nehemiah, son of Azbuk, the ruler of half part of Beth-Zur, unto the place over against the sepulchres of David, and to the pool that was made, and unto the house of the mighty. After him repaired the Levites, Rehum, the son of Bani. Next to him repaired Hashabiah, the ruler of half part of Keilah, in his part. After him repaired their brethren, Bavai, the son of Henadad, the ruler of half part of Keilah. And next to him repaired Ezer, the son of Jeshu'ah, the ruler of Mizpah, and over another piece over against the going up to the army at the turning of the wall. And I keep reading the ruler of, the ruler of this, the ruler of that. And basically, who these rulers are, because we know Artaxerxes was the occupying king. He had the occupying force. He was basically the king of everything there. And that's why some of them considered it rebellion against the king, until they found out that Artaxerxes gave them permission to do this work. But what these are is these are leaders of their tribes. Because the tribes were according to families. And of course you had the 12 tribes of Israel, which were 12 families of the 12 sons of Israel. And from there you have tribes that go down in their genealogy and spread out. So you had different tribes, different families, different possessions. And these were the rulers of their tribes. They were like the head patriarch of the tribe. That's the best way that I could put it. Let's see, and after him, in verse 22 of chapter 3, after him repaired the priests, the men of the plain, and after him repaired Benjamin and Hashub over against the house, and after him repaired Azariah, the son of Maaseiah, son of Ananiah, by his house. After him repaired Benui, the son of Henadad, another piece, and from the house of Azariah unto the turning of the wall, even unto the corner. So basically, we have Nehemiah the scribe going around, and making a record of who's building the wall and what part of the wall they're building. So we'll continue here. In chapter 3 and verse 25, Palal, the son of Uzziah, over against the turning of the wall and the tower which lieth out from the king's high house that was by the court of the prison, after him, Padaiah, the son of Parosh. Moreover, the Nithanims dwelt in Ophel unto the place over against the water gate toward the east, and the tower that lieth out. After them, the Tekoites repaired another piece over against the great tower that lieth out, even unto the wall of Ophel. From above the horse gate repaired the priests, every one over against his house. After them repaired Zodak, the son of Immer, over against his house. After him repaired also Shemaiah, the son of Shechaniah, the keeper of the east gate. After him repaired Hananiah, the son of Shelemiah, and Hanun, the sixth son of Zalaph, another piece. After him repaired Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, over against his chamber. After him repaired Malchiah, the goldsmith's son, unto the place of the Nethinims and of the merchants, and over against the gate of Mifkad, and to the going up of the corner. And between the going up of the corner unto the sheep gate repaired the goldsmiths and the merchants. But it came to pass when Sanballat heard that we built the wall, he was wroth, and he took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And the word for Jew there is Yahudi. And that is the people called by his name. His name is Yahuwah. And they spoke, and actually, I think in the actual 1611 version, I want to take a look at that for a minute and see what it says in the 1611 version at that point. Yeah, it says, and mock the Iuis. And that's what they got from the Greek. So you see there that the J was added, and they were the Iudeans, or the Yahudim. Anyway, we'll go back. It's just the consistency of the received text is we can learn a lot from the consistency. So they were the Yahudi, and that would be like if someone would say that I'm a Californian, if I was a Californian, or whatever land you're from. Or if you're from Michigan, I love that one, Michigander. There you go, all you Michiganders out there. What's good for the goose is good for the gander, huh? Yes, I was born on the land called Michigan, as I was. So I am a Michigander. I'm not making fun of anyone, but it's something peculiar that's always stuck in my mind. Okay, so anyway, we had Sanballat. He heard that the wall was being built, and it sounds like they were progressing. He went around and he gathered all the names of who was building what part of the wall, and we see that it was going up. We went all the way around the wall and came to the starting point. And so he says here, but it came to pass when Sanballat heard, and we're in chapter 4, verse 1, and some people tell me, oh, you don't give out the chapter and verse number enough. I'm trying, and so I hope I'm doing a much better job than I used to at giving out the chapter and verse reference. So I don't lose everyone out there. You can catch up with me. So Sanballat. Yes, what a name. Sanballat, a foreign origin Persian satrap of Samaria. He was wroth, and he took great indignation, and he mocked the Yahudi, the Jews, as it's recorded here in the Authorized Version. And he spoke before the brethren and the army of Samaria. So he was a satrap of Samaria. And I guess that's some kind of ruling class person, satrap. And anyway, so he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the hall thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass, when Sanballat, and Tobiah, and the Arabians, and the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites, heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up, and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth, and conspired all of them to come and fight against Jerusalem, and to hinder it. Ah, yes. Is there any Nehemiahs out there today? And the men that were with Nehemiah building the city of God, building the kingdom of God, and the world sees you doing the work and they want to come and tear it down and hinder the work and put you in prison and scorn you for trusting and believing in the word of God and proclaiming it. Yes. Let us be like Nehemiah. Take the trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. The sword and the trowel. There you go. How's that for a coat of arms? A sword and a trowel. And I don't mean no Masonic trowel. They don't have a Masonic trowel. They have the square and the what do you call it thing. And also they have the platter that they have for the, when they graduate, the hod carrier's platter that they put on your head. That's what it is when you graduate. You know, that funny hat, the square thing that they put on your head when you give you your cap and gown when you graduate. Yes, you're more enlightened now because you have been indoctrinated by the Masonic religion. Because where does all that curriculum come from anyway? You got to think about that. But yes, one of my daughters was graduating. And this is funny to me. You know, I had her in private Christian school over here because I needed to do that at the time. And she was graduating kindergarten into the first grade. And they want to do all these cap and gown stuff. And I'm going, wow, let's celebrate mediocrity. Why don't we? You know, because that's what it is. You go, oh, how could you deprive your children of that? Well, you know, it's really just about another industry to rent out all these garments and stuff. And you know, I mean, that's what it's about. Because if there wasn't someone behind it pushing an industry. So anyway, yes, I deprived my child. I would not let my child take part in their celebration of mediocrity with Masonic symbols by putting caps and gowns on their heads, graduating from kindergarten into the first grade. You know, how absurd. Anyway, that's how I felt about that. And although a lot of people didn't agree with me. Oh, how could you deprive your child of this momentous occasion? Yeah, momentous occasion. It was nothing when I was a child. Now it's, I call it, like I said, the celebration of mediocrity. You know, there are greater things to celebrate. You know, let's let them memorize scripture and let's celebrate that. Let us celebrate the memorization of the word of God. Let us celebrate the practice of righteousness. Let us celebrate godliness. That's what we need to celebrate, not mediocrity. The passage from kindergarten into the first grade, all of this, the trappings of all of which is from the world. The schools, we're just emulating the public school system and the segregation that comes with it. That's not our Creator's way. That's why it's essential for God's people to homeschool their children and take them out of this segregation thing. This is part of the divide and conquer mentality, part of the brainwashing of the children of America is to separate them and segregate them by age groups, to separate them from their parents and their older siblings, to tear down the family. Because anytime you segregate people by age and peer group, you're tearing down the family. And that's why it is so essential in the public schools to segregate, to put everyone in their own class by age and peer group. Period. That is the only reason for it, is the destruction of the family. Oh, plus it's easier to operate your curriculum, and we know that it's not for their education, because we know homeschoolers do much better. Even the worst half, even the lower 50% of homeschoolers do better than the best of the best 50% of public schools by a far shot. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of the burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them, and slay them, and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, and they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence you shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, and your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one to his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the harbergeons, a breastplate, a coat of mail, a harbergeon, a harness. So he had half of them are holding the weapons of war, or I should say defense in this case, because they're not going to war, they're defending the work. And the rulers were behind all the house of Judah, they which built on the wall, and they which bore the burdens, and those that laded, every one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. So you got a trowel in one hand, and you got a sword in the other hand. You're getting the work done, and you're ready to defend yourself. Chapter 4, verse 18, for the builders, every one, had his sword girded by his side, and so built. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people that worked, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place, therefore, you hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us, our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them held spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard against us, a guard to us, and labor on the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard, which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing. And we'll continue in chapter 5 of Nehemiah when we return from this break. You're listening to Cross the Border. We'll be back in a few minutes.